When I was searching for a topic to preach on this morning, I was looking through Brother David's website and some of his sermon titles, and I noticed one that he did on Mephibosheth, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning in 2 Samuel chapter 9. So I saw the title, read through the verses, and I don't do well with just taking someone else's outline and preaching on it. It doesn't work out well for me. So I did my own outline on it. I went back to his, and it was basically what he had. So I was like, man, I could have saved myself a lot of time if I just printed out his outline. But it was a really good study for me, and I hope it will be for you all also. Our text mainly is going to be 2 Samuel chapter 9, but first we're gonna just look at a couple of verses. Who was Mephibosheth? You know, there's not very much said about him. There's just a few handful of things in the scriptures about him. We know from 2 Samuel chapter 4 that he was a son of Jonathan, David's good friend, and the grandson of King Saul. We see this from 2 Samuel 4 and verse 4. And we also see in this verse, now Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the report of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened that in her hurry to flee, he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. So we see he was crippled since he was 5 years old. He had an accident during his time. He wasn't able to walk. And he's also referred to in 1 Chronicles 8 and 1 Chronicles 9 as Merib Baal. So if that's another name that he's goes by. And when you look at this, we see that Mephibosheth, at the time of David's reign, because of his lineage, he's the potential heir to the throne because of the things going on, because of when they looked for someone from Jonathan's lineage, this was the only one they could find. Potentially, from Saul's lineage, he was the heir to the throne. And because of this, he could have very easily been a rival of David. He could have been an enemy of David. So let's keep that in mind as we go to 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9, we'll read the first 13 verses. Then David said, "Is there yet anyone left in the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And they called him to David and said to the king, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." The king said, "Is there not yet anyone of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness, the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lo Debar." Then King David sent him and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lo Debar. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he said, "Here is your servant." David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly." Again he prostrated himself and said, "What is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me?" Then the king called Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. You and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him, and you shall bring in the produce so that your master's grandson may have food. Nevertheless, Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table regularly." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so your servant will do." So Mephibosheth ate at King David's table as one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in the house of Ziba were servants to Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate at the king's table regularly. Now he was lame in both feet. And we see in the first part of this chapter, David wants to fulfill a promise that he had made to Jonathan because of their great friendship, because of all the things that they had done for one another. David made a promise in 1 Samuel chapter 20. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, in verses 14 through 17, says, "If I am still alive, will you not show me the loving kindness of the Lord, that I may not die? You shall not cut off your loving kindness from my house forever, not even when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord require it at the hands of David's enemies." Jonathan made David vow again because of his love for him, because he loved him as his own life. And also in verse 42, says, "Jonathan said to David, 'Go in safety, inasmuch as we have sworn to each other in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord will be between me and you, and between my descendants and your descendants forever.' Then he rose and departed while Jonathan went into the city." So we see this promise made between these two individuals, despite the animosity that Saul felt towards David. This relationship still existed between Jonathan, and David remembered this relationship even through the next generations and further. When we look at Mephibosheth, he was in a helpless position to care and provide for himself. He was lame. He was crippled in both legs. And we see this emphasized. It's repeated over and over when we see Mephibosheth described. He was crippled in both feet. That's a big deal for someone back in that time period. He was residing with someone else. He was living in someone else's house. He had to depend on someone to provide for his needs, because at this time, if you weren't able to do some sort of manual labor to provide for yourself, you were in a bad situation. You relied on someone else to take care of you. And when we look at the things that were given to Mephibosheth, he was given all these things simply because of his father, simply because of the vow and the friendship that existed between David and Jonathan. Before this happened, David didn't even know that Mephibosheth existed. He didn't have any knowledge of this man. He still doesn't really have any knowledge of him, other than the fact that he's the son of Jonathan. And when we look at all the things that David did, he went above and beyond the simple vow that he made to Jonathan. When we look in verse 7 of 2 Samuel chapter 9, it says, "Do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father, and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly." So we see the land being restored to him. We see him granted a great honor to be at the table of the king. We also see him being given personal servants that provided for his every need, that grew his food, made sure everything that he needed was provided for. And we see the attitude of Mephibosheth when he comes to the throne of David. He comes with this attitude of humility and fear. You know, there's no indication that Mephibosheth knew why he was being called to the throne of David. Put yourself in his position. He's a descendant of Saul, one who had tried to kill David multiple times, one who tried to keep him from the throne, and now you're being called to the throne of David. You know, it probably could be a very frightening thing. I would not think that his first expectation was that he was going to be treated with honor. We even see David in verse 7 telling him not to fear. It's not something that you should fear. I'm honoring you because of your father. We see him falling on his face before David. We see him referring to himself as David's servant from verses 6 through 8. Great humility and great fear on the part of Mephibosheth. And if we look over in 2 Samuel chapter 21, we see David sparing his life once again from the hands of the Gibeonites. If we look in 2 Samuel chapter 21, in the first 9 verses. "Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year, and David sought the presence of the Lord. And the Lord said, 'It is for Saul and his bloody house, because he put the Gibeonites to death.' So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not sons of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the sons of Israel made a covenant with them. But Saul sought to kill them in his zeal for the sons of Israel and Judah. Thus David said to the Gibeonites, 'What should I do for you? And how can I make atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord?' Then the Gibeonites said to him, 'We have no concern of silver or gold with Saul or his house, nor is it for us to put any man to death in Israel. And he said, I will do for you whatever you say. So they said to the king, the man who consumed us and who planned to exterminate us from remaining within any border of Israel, let 7 men from his sons be given to us, and we will hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, the chosen of the Lord. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the oath of the Lord which was between them, between David and Saul's son. So the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, Armoni, and Mephibosheth, whom she had borne to Saul, and the 5 sons of Merib, the daughter of Saul, whom she had borne to Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Mehethite. Then he gave them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the mountain before the Lord, so that the 7 of them fell together, and they were put to death in the first days of the harvest, at the beginning of barley harvest. We see David continuing to keep this vow to Jonathan. You know, he could have very easily just had some sort of ceremony from Mephibosheth and have it be done. No, he cared for him. He cared for him because of his father, because of the oath that he had made. And we see in 2 Samuel chapter 19 that Mephibosheth didn't take advantage of the things that were given to him. He recognized the reasons why these things were given to him, and he appreciated those things. We see in 2 Samuel chapter 19, beginning in verse 24. Then Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and he had neither cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came home in peace. It was when he came home from Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said to him, "Why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth?" So he answered, "O my lord, the king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, 'I will saddle a donkey for myself, that I may ride on it and go with the king, because your servant is lame.' Moreover, he has slandered your servant to my lord the king. But my lord the king is like the angel of God. Therefore, do what is good in your sight. For all my father's household was nothing but dead men before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who ate at your table. What right do I have yet that I should complain any more to the king?" So the king said to him, "Why do you still speak of your affairs? I have decided you and Ziba shall divide the land." Mephibosheth said to the king, "Let him even take it all, since my lord the king has come safely to his own house." See, this is during the time of turmoil in David's kingdom, where his own son was trying to take over his reign. And David, over the time of several months, was away trying to fight, trying to regain his hand in the kingdom. And we see Mephibosheth during this time completely neglecting himself, completely neglecting his own cares, didn't care for his feet, didn't trim his mustache, didn't wash his clothes. He was in complete mourning, complete withdrawal because of David and his condition. And we see once David returns that he was simply content to eat at the table. He didn't want the land that was given to him. He just wanted David to be back safely. We see this from verses 28 through 30. So when we look at this story and this man and this relationship and look at the applications we can make to our own lives, you know, we can be in a very similar spiritual situation that Mephibosheth was in his physical situation. You know, where we can be crippled and helpless due to our sin. And Christ's sacrifice saves us from being the enemies of God, just as the promise that David made to Jonathan saved Mephibosheth from being his enemy because of his father Saul. If we look in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one would hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have received the reconciliation." We see Christ dying for us in our helpless state, in our state of not being able to do anything for ourselves, relying completely on Him. Just as Mephibosheth was completely at the mercy of David, but we see David in his righteousness fulfilling the promise that he had made to Jonathan and caring and supplying for the needs of Mephibosheth. We see that our salvation as Christians is based solely on the willingness of Jesus to give Himself, just as Mephibosheth's providings were based solely on David's willingness to give them. And we see that once this grace is given to us, we need to never forget or try to take advantage of that. We see this in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died in sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. We need to always remember that we're continually benefiting from His sacrifice. It's not just a one-time event that we benefit. We're continually benefiting. Anytime we sin, anytime we fall short and we're able to repent of those things, we're benefiting from that sacrifice. And we see the attitude of Mephibosheth. He didn't see any right to complain anymore to David in chapter 19 of 2 Samuel, because everything he had ever wanted and more was provided for because of nothing that he had done. And I think that's what we need to keep in mind as we're going through our life. We're wanting to complain about things. Remember the continual benefits that we reap from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So if you're not a Christian this morning, you haven't taken advantage of that grace that's been offered to you. You haven't been baptized into that sacrifice. You can do that this morning. You can take on that sacrifice. You can take advantage of it. If you are a Christian and you're in that helpless state of being crippled by sin, you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards because you're not giving up that sin that you once wanted to put away when you put on Christ, you can do that this morning. You can repent of those things. We can help you anyway this morning. Please come forward as we stand and sing.